I grew up in a tradition, probably like many of you, where emotions were kind of seen as a sign of weakness. I just know I'm going to cry because I wasn't sure if I would say this, but I think I have to. And it's just that I want to say, it's not just like, you know, Stephen's not just been a colleague of mine. And like you, he's not just been a pastor. He's been a friend. And he's been a real personal. He's been a great guy who loves Jesus. And that's an awesome thing. And you may not know it. I've said it a couple times around just quietly. But there have been times, as you know in my story, more recent years, where I didn't know if I could keep going. And Stephen is a large part of the reason why I'm around, period. So he's been an incredible blessing in my life, and I know in many of yours. And that's why on the 20th, we want to celebrate him and Kelly and their family, because they're wonderful. And, you know, I heard a thing, beautiful thing this week from Cheryl Baer, who is at CBM. She's First Nations. And she said, in the First Nations cultures, there is two ways that they grieve. One is through tears and crying, and the other is through laughter. Have you ever grieved through laughter? That's a good thing to do, too. And you know what? We, on the 20th, we want to grieve their loss through tears, but also laughter. And laughter comes because we can celebrate good things that have happened as well. And we just want to honor them on that day. So I just want to say again, just be here on the 20th. And in the days ahead, you know, when you want to call on somebody and you realize it's not Stephen anymore, I want you to know you can call me. That's what I'm here for now. I'm here for you. I love you as one of your pastors. This isn't new. I'm not new to you, and you're not new to me. But please feel that you can call on me in the days ahead. I'm going to say more just about kind of how it's going to be the next 5 months or so as I'm here in an interim capacity. I'm going to say more next week, because today's not the day. But just for now, I just want to say thank you to Stephen and Kelly. And my goodness, I've known Kelly since I was in high school. And wow, Stephen's hair has gotten a lot whiter since then. So, those two things weren't connected. Not at all connected. I'm so sorry. Just the passing of time, that's all I was referring to. Oh my gosh. Okay, let's get into the sermon. Have you ever wondered where did that come from? Have you ever thought to yourself, like, my goodness, like, how did that happen? How was that even inside of me? You know, have you ever looked at one of your kids, maybe on a Saturday morning, maybe this is my own story from yesterday, I'm not going to say, and looked at your kids and say, what in the dickens, where did that come from? You are an evil child. you look at a young 2 or 3 year old child sometimes and you think, like, why are you hitting your infant baby brother or sister? Like, where does that come from? You're so small. Or you look at someone in your workplace and you say, how can someone do such evil to another person? How could somebody sabotage a coworker like that? Or maybe you read the news, you listen to the news, or you're scrolling the internet, and you see a story of some terrorist or some organization that's causing harm in the world, and you say, where does that come from? How do we get to the place where that happens? Or maybe you've had a moment in your life, late at night, lying in your bed, where you say to yourself, I did it again. And I said I would never do it again. Why can't I do or not do? Each of us has our own stories. As we look at other people around us, as we look within our own hearts, we recognize there is something there. And it feels like sometimes it's controlling us, or we can't understand how someone else would get there, and we ask ourselves, where did that come from? Where did that come from? So today we're starting a new series that's really about the heart. And it's about spiritual transformation. How does that happen? Because when we have those moments and we recognize things within ourselves, we often say, I don't know where it came from, but I don't want it in my life. How do I get rid of it? How do I change? So we're going to be asking the question, how do we change? How does God bring about something new in our lives? How does he do that? And the theme verse for this series, which the title of the series is Guard Your Heart, the theme verse is Proverbs 4:23, and maybe we can go to that now here. So Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. You know, there's a couple years ago, I started, you know, just saying to myself, I've got to make sure my kids memorize scripture. Because it's one of those things that once it's kind of in you, God can use it in all kinds of ways. But if it's not in you, you know, you're kind of floating. And so I had this big ambitious thing. I printed up a whole list of Bible verses that they were going to memorize. I even said to them, I'll pay you $1 for every verse that you memorize. I'm not above bribery, because I said, like, listen, this will pay dividends in your life. So I'm willing to make the investment of $1 because it'll stay with you for the rest of your lives. And they were, of course, all excited about this. And they counted the number, and they were like, oh, there's 30-some verses here. We can make like $30. And I was like, I'm going to be out $100 by the end of the month. I was like, it'll be worth it. Well, they memorized about one or two verses. But the very first verse that my son memorized, he was all upset. He was like, I can't do it. He was 8 at the time. He was like, there's no way I can memorize a verse. I was like, you got this, buddy. Let's do it together. And we just did one word at a time, one word at a time. And this was the verse. This was the first verse that he learned. Guard, that last one that we were just on, yeah. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And if you ask my son that to this day, say Proverbs 4:23, he'll say, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. It's the only Bible verse I think he's memorized, but he's got that one. And it's a good one. And it's good because it reminds us the significance of the heart. Now listen, when I say the word heart, I know that for most of us, in our culture today, we're thinking about like Valentine's Day, those red things, you know, it's shaped like this, which actually doesn't look anything like the human heart, but that's what we've come to represent it by. And so you might be thinking about love and something sentimental, you might be thinking about the emotions, and some of that is true, but what is the heart? That's the first thing I want to talk about. What is the heart? And let's look here. I want to show you just a definition on the next slide. And this comes from Dallas Willard, who has written this book, Renovation of the Heart. And most of this series is kind of loosely structured around his book, Renovation of the Heart. And what's great about Dallas Willard is that when he writes these things, we're not basing, we're not teaching his book. We're teaching the heart behind it. We're teaching the scripture behind it. And we're going to be, using his framework to understand what the Bible teaches us. So he says this, the heart is that spiritual place within us from which outlook, choices, and actions come. So when we ask the question, where did that come from? The actions that we have, the way we see the world, the choices we make, they come from our hearts. They come from our heart. And so that's why the heart is so important, because the way we see the world, the choices we make once we see it, once we see the options before us, and then the actions we take, those come from our heart. Now, in our world today, it's popular to sort of say, well, this was forced upon me, or I was forced into this situation. But, the truth is that all of human existence flows out of the heart. Now, we might be responding to something that someone else does, but that came from their heart. We might find ourselves in a difficult situation of different kinds. There's all kinds of ways. And we can be challenged economically. We can be challenged socially, mentally, intellectually, all these different things. But it comes out of this place in the heart where there's conflict. There's a sense of greed. Sometimes there's ambitions that are fighting against each other. People are competing for resources. All of these things come from an orientation of the heart. And so it's important for us to understand where our hearts are pointed at, what they're grounded in, what they're holding on to, what they're treasuring is a word we're going to see later. But Dallas says, this is the spiritual place within us from which our outlook on the world, the choices we make, and the actions we do, where all of that comes from. In the scriptures, as we read them, you're going to see that the heart is the center of our existence. It's like command center, our control center, where everything else flows from this. So the heart is really important. We have to guard it because it determines the course of our life. Now, I want to look into the words of Jesus here. What is it that Jesus teaches us about the heart? Because, you know, it'd be great if we listened to Dallas or, you know, I told you some cool things about the heart and some challenges for life. But really what we need to do is we need to listen to the voice of Jesus. Because many of us know how difficult it is to have any control over our own hearts. And so if there's any possibility for change, we need to listen to the voice of one who created, who has power over. So we're going to listen to the voice of Jesus here. Let's go first here. This is Mark chapter 7. Now, there's a conversation that's going on here that's not directly pertinent to this at the moment, but Jesus takes it to this place. So what's going on? There's this discussion about food. Which food is okay to eat and which food is not okay to eat? Which, that's not really something that we talk about a lot in our daily life in terms of a religious sense. You know, the closest we get is when we have a potluck, I say, you know, please don't bring anything with peanuts in it. Not quite the same thing. In their day, what they were talking about was, you know, this food makes you unclean, makes you spiritually unwell. It's a very different conversation than we're used to, but it was important in their day. I mean, you're familiar with how Jewish people don't eat pork? It would be something like that. So which foods are you allowed to eat? Which are you not? And Jesus says, listen, you guys, that's not what this is about. Like, God isn't really concerned about the food you eat above the things inside of your heart. And he says this, it's not what goes into your body that defiles you. You're defiled by what comes from your heart. For from within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. So where did that come from? It came from the heart. And you say to yourself, ooh, that was inside of me? If you're honest, there's moments that you have where you realize when you see someone do something bad, how easily you could have gotten there as well. Not everything, I understand. There's some behaviors we would look at and we'd say, never in a million years. But if we're honest, there's moments when we look around us and we see other people in their quote-unquote bad behavior and we realize, that could have been me too. I know how easily I could have gotten there. Or, you know, you sometimes, parents, you'll understand, when you have one of those long Saturdays where those kids are obstinate and they're fighting you and they're just disrespectful, disobedient, and you're in the mall and you see some other parent just start to like come off the handle a little bit, you go, I understand. And you see, and maybe it helps you dial back the dials a little bit and say, okay, I've got to calm down or that's going to be me losing it in the mall. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you don't want to admit it. Some of you are glad that your kids have grown up and moved out of the house because now you can fake it, that it's not there in your heart, but it's there. You know it's there. You feel it when they come and visit you for a week. Well, let's just be honest. Real talk. So it's out of the heart that these things come. And, you know, we like to believe that there's good inside of everyone. We like to think that. And, you know, to a certain extent that's true because we're all created in God's image. However, we've also experienced the brokenness of the world we live in, a world that has been overcome by sin. And what that means is there's evil inside of all of us too. Some of us know how quickly we would get to a dark place if the power was out for a whole week, we had no food. Some of us know how quickly, you know, when we had the power out a couple weeks ago, my goodness, it wasn't even out a full day. And I was already lighting fires in my bedroom, trying to cook hot dogs on my dresser. Well, they were candles, small fires, but... And I realized, like, how quickly would I start acting very differently if suddenly I didn't have the things I need? It's like, I have no Wi-Fi. I can't charge my phone. Suddenly you start acting differently. You realize there's something in your heart that's moving in a direction you never really noticed before. You ever had one of those moments? Like, be honest with yourself. There's these moments where we see We get to the edge and we see how dark the chasm is, how deep it goes. And all of these things, we all have the capacity for this evil as well. All of us do. From within, out of a person's heart, come all of these negative things. Now, I want you to hear what else Jesus says, because that's very negative. This is the darkness. This is the gross stuff. But this is also the stuff that motivates us to change, if we're honest. But let's look at the other side. Let's flip to the next verse here. And this one speaks about it more positively as Jesus is talking about the heart. He says, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. So this is good news as well, because if we have a treasury of good things in our heart, then good things are going to come out of us. But, as we said before, if we have a treasury of bad things, that's what's going to flow out of us as well. That means we're going to see things in a negative way. We're going to make choices that are selfish and motivated with dark intent. We're going to make actions and do things that we should not do. But if we have a treasury of good things, we're going to see the world in a more positive way. We're going to see a sign of hope. We're going to look for the things and the ways in which God is at work. We're going to be motivated to make choices that are good and pleasing and helpful to other people, that are selfless. We're also going to make, you know, steps to actually do things that are good. So Jesus is teaching us that the heart is a place that we need to be concerned with. Because whatever we treasure, whatever we hold on to, whatever we store up within our heart is going to come out. And it's going to have effect, not just on us, but on other people. And thus, the teaching of Proverbs, guard your heart. Guard your heart above all else, because it will determine the course of your life. It'll determine the way you go. So a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. Now, I want to say, it's not my job or your job to determine what someone else is. It's not my job or your job to say, that person is evil and they have an evil heart. It's not your job to look at someone and say, that's a good person, they have a good heart. That's God's job. But it's a warning for us to consider, who are we? What are we treasuring? What do we value? What are we pursuing? What are we looking at? Where are we going? And I want you to look at this next verse that's probably quite familiar for you. I think this is Matthew 6. It says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Now again, in this case, Jesus is talking about the things that we value. He's talking about whether we're worried about the material possessions of this world. He says we don't need to do that, to seek the kingdom above all else. But what he's saying is, treasure, whatever you treasure, your heart's going to be on that. Now you think about that. You know, some of you who have children that live away, if you treasure your children, they're on your mind. You know, if you're away from, say, home for a while, and you know you're thinking about your goldfish, you treasure that goldfish. Or, you know, you're at work and all of a sudden you're thinking about your car parked down by the road, and you know you didn't park in a great spot and there's going to be a snowplow coming by. You're thinking about your car. You treasure your car. Now, some of these things are good, some of them are bad, some of them are neutral. But it shows us where our heart leans towards, the things that we value. And I want to tell you a little story now. That's what this picture is about, these two wolves, the white wolf and the black wolf. And I came across this story, and it's a story a grandfather is telling a young grandchild. This is not particularly a Christian story, but it's a helpful sort of little proverb. And in the story, the grandfather says to the grandchild, within each of us, there are two wolves fighting, a good wolf and a bad wolf. And the child says, which one wins? And the grandfather says, whichever one you feed. Have you heard that story before? Well, of course, this is not a biblical story, and there's some, you know, it's not perfect. But what it reminds us is of this truth that Jesus has said, that where our treasure is, our heart will also be. What we feed, what we pay attention to, what we pursue is what grows and what will win in our heart and mind. So if you want the good wolf to win, you've got to feed the good wolf. If you want the things of God to flourish in your life, if you want to look more and more like Jesus, you need to be feeding into the things of Jesus. You need to be pursuing that. You need to be treasuring that. You need to allow that to become where you focus your attention, your mind, so that it grows. And there will be this constant struggle within you. There will be this constant tension where you say, ah, I did it again. And yet I'm not able to still, and yet, if we keep pursuing the things of God in time, God's likeness, the likeness of Christ, will grow and grow and grow within us and flourish. This is a constant thing. We can never stop feeding the things of God within us. Balance can so easily tip once again. But Jesus says, where we treasure, that's where our heart will be. And so, if we're going to see ourselves treasure the things of God, we need to feed those things into our lives. We need to allow them to become where we fix our thoughts, our attention, our mind, so that our choices begin to be formed by the things of God, and our actions are as well. So this is why we say, again, the verse that we began with, Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Are you feeding your heart with the things of God? Are you reading Scripture? Are you coming to church? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you actually examining who you are, not just changing the outward appearance? Because when Jesus was speaking all this time, he was speaking to the religious leaders, saying to them, it's not enough just to wash the outside of the cup. It's not enough just to clean things up on the outside. If you're really going to be after the things of God, if you're really going to be someone with whom God is pleased, you're going to pursue the inside of the cup. You're going to make sure that your heart is in good shape. And so Jesus teaches about the significance of the heart and a heart that is like his own. So I want to tell you, I want to ask you, do you have a dirty cup? Do you have a dirty cup? Are you feeding the bad wolf? What has your time and attention? What do you value? What do you treasure? Are you storing up a treasury in your heart of the good things of God? And if you want to see your life change in any way, if you want to see the people around you change in any way, are we going to lean into and pursue the life of Jesus Christ within us? I want to invite you to do that. I want to invite you to take the cup to him and let it clean it. I want to invite you to take yourself to the feet of Jesus and allow him to feed you, to nourish your soul and to strengthen you. And I want to invite you to pursue his ways above all else. And over the next 8 weeks or so, we're going to be asking the question, how do we change? How does God do that in our hearts? How does he change our hearts so that we become new people? And we're gonna lean into that so that we can see his life flourish within us. I just want to close with this verse here from Psalm 51. This is David writing after a time of his own sin and brokenness. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. And that was David's prayer, and that can be your prayer here today. He can create a new heart in you. He can renew something within you that is good and pleasing and wonderful. So just as we close in prayer today, let's ask him to do that for us. Let's ask him to do that today. Let's ask him to do that over the next 8 weeks. Let's ask him to rule and reign in our hearts and to make something new within us. Let's pray. Jesus, we want to trust your words. We know that because you created the world, you understand it best. And so we want to have honor and reverence for you. We want to trust in your teaching. And we want to listen well so that we can understand. Create a new heart in us. Where there's a dirty cup, Wash us clean. Make us new. Where there's evil and pain and choices that are wrong, where we know there's something deep within us that maybe even scares us, help us to trust that your power is greater. And that as you provide for us and feed us, you fill us with good things. Spark a deep desire within us to be like you, to love you because you first loved us. Change our hearts. Make us like your own. Help us to live for you in all things. Jesus, we want to be a blessing to you because you've shown us such goodness, such life. We want to trust you because you alone have the power and strength to do in us what we can't do for ourselves. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.